I do not claim to understand everything about God, nor does anyone. Or I don't know, some people may claim that, but it's just that, a false claim. We have been dealing with, thank you. I want to go back and remind you of where we started from the beginning of this year in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. I want to show you how we have ended up where we are. The Bible says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." So when you look at this one passage of scripture here, the eyes have not seen it, the ears have not heard it, nor have people imagined what God has prepared. So number one, there are some things prepared for us. We just ain't seen it, we ain't heard it, and we ain't imagined it. Are you with me? It's not that they're not prepared. They are prepared. You just ain't seen it. You just ain't heard it. Now, and you just haven't imagined it. But look at verse 10. "But God hath revealed them unto us," how? "By his Spirit." The only way you, in other words, what he's saying, this ain't for you to see with your natural eye first. This ain't for you to hear with your natural ear first. This ain't for you to imagine in your mind first. I'm going to give this to you because I already prepared it. But the way I'm going to reveal it to you is by my Spirit. Are you with me now? "For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." Some of this stuff is deep. I'm just being honest. So I wanted to bring us back to where we started from this year, because I believe the Lord shared with me about manifesting the invisible. The invisible is not something that cannot be seen. The invisible is something that's simply not seen. Okay. I can't see your heart right now, your physical heart. But they can take an x-ray, MRI, and see your heart. So it may be invisible to me now, but it don't mean it can't be seen. There are some things that God has for us that we've not seen yet, we've not heard yet, we've not imagined yet. And he is revealing them to us by his Spirit. Now, I'm trying to do this because I'm about to take off different today. It took me all of that time, Ken, for us to get favor. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I believe God gave favor to us first, because what I'm going to share with you now, you'll be more apt to receive it because you understand it's favor. Because if you finally got to the flesh, well, you know, God just doing things for me because it's favor. And you understand that favor is not earned, it's given. You ready now? You better buckle up. Didn't he say the deep things of God?
Yes, sir, he did.
Okay, Holy Ghost, I need you to do this. So the theme we've been dealing with is manifesting the invisible. What we're talking about in general is walking in the hidden realities of God. All right? Okay. So we realize that there are things that God has prepared for us that we've not seen it yet, we've not heard it yet, we've not imagined it, but it's revealed to us by his Spirit. This morning, I want to talk to you on the subject, the manifestation of hidden resources. The manifestation of hidden resources. Now, Holy Spirit, I pray that you will confirm this word by signs and wonders, that the people of God will know that they can trust you and that this is you and not my flesh. This is not a man's doing. But I want to talk about the manifestation of hidden resources. Go to Isaiah chapter 45. We'll start at verse 1. The manifestation of hidden resources. Just that title should let you know something needs to be manifest as hidden. Now, you have to see that. First off, you have to see, please see what the Spirit of God is saying. When we looked at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it was letting you know that there are some things that's already prepared. You just can't see them. Amen. What we want to do is walk in those things that's already prepared. But this is a spiritual conversation we're about to have. You can't get this just sitting there as a natural man. So I'm trying to slow walk this. I ain't in a rush for this. I want to make sure you get this, because this is just the opening. Isaiah chapter 45, verse 1. Let's talk about unknown and unseen resources. Let's talk about unknown and unseen resources. Isaiah 45 and verse 1, the Bible says, "Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden to subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the two levied gates, and the gates shall not be shut." Now, I got to speak to you prophetically, because this is, I believe, by the Spirit of God. Looking at verse 1, "Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus." Now, if you don't know anything about this, Cyrus doesn't know God. Cyrus is a king. To be honest, God called Cyrus by name before Cyrus was ever born. And Cyrus did not know God. He is not an Israelite. So this is going to mess up a lot of people's theology, some of the stuff that I'm about to bring to you here. Some of you all will see some likenesses. Okay, well, let's do verse 1 again. "Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden to subdue nations before him." So God is using this man to subdue nations, "to loose the loins of kings, to open before him the two levied gates, and the gates shall not be shut." Listen, there are ways that are about to be made for the people of God that are divinely orchestrated. These opportunities will not be able to be hindered. Not that they won't be hindered, they won't be able to be hindered. Verse 2, "I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron." What are you saying? There have been literal obstacles that have prevented this from occurring previously, but God is going before his people to remove those obstacles. I know what I am sharing with you is strange. I know what I am sharing with you is different from the platform that we're accustomed to hearing. But when God shared this with Israel, guess what? It was strange and different from the platform that they were accustomed to hearing. God chose to use a heathen king. See, we have in our mind who God going to use and how he's going to use them and all of these other kinds of things. We got, well, no, this is who I choose. And that's right. That's who you choose. May not necessarily be who God choose, but that's who you choose. Verse 3. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. Listen to this. There are treasures that darkness contains that are about to be transferred into the light. Hear me, beloved. I'm being as honest as I possibly can with you. There are treasures that are contained in the darkness right now that are about to be transferred into the light. Look at this. And hidden riches of secret places. There are hidden riches that are about to be discovered. I need to talk to you for a moment, because Holy Ghost, you probably really need just this CD. You're going to probably just need to hear this one and just hear it again. Whatever Justin them decide for a price or whatever, y'all if y'all want to do it like that. So I'm not doing it for the money, but we do pay for the CDs. But I'm simply saying this is probably something you want to hear. Listen. I want you to see this. Hidden riches of secret places. It's already riches. They just hid. And then it's a secret. It's already riches. Doug Hall, watch when we begin to hear of what people are discovering. Oh, well, supposedly we've got the biggest gold nugget is 14 pounds, I think, now. What happened when somebody find one that's 20 pounds? There's stuff out there. It's just hidden and it's secret. And it's about to be discovered. Watch this. This is amazing to me. You know what the word discovered means? To make known or visible. What are we talking about in manifesting to the invisible? Making it known. How many of you in here, you got some land or some property? I mean, you own land, you own property. I am telling you, anybody here know what cobalt is? What Al at? Not the software. We think about gold. We think about all this. What if you found on your land that you own some mineral? Some rare mineral on your land. It was a hidden riches, because you didn't know it, and it was in a secret place. But then you discover it, so you've made it known, it's not visible. The magnitude of what I'm talking to you about today is beyond a lot of our scope, and that's why God, I believe, gave us favor first. So we won't put ourselves in a position of blocking out what God is saying. For those of the rest of us that can't get this, how many of y'all remember the Clampets? Paul said I had to use natural things so you can understand. Granny and Ellie Mae and Jethro and now y'all with me. Now y'all would see, I had to find them, Doug. That's all. I just had to find them. The whole reason the Clampus was able to move to Beverly Hills is what they found on their land. Come on. And I'm simply saying, you all, watch what God is about to do now. Hidden riches, stuff that we have not been aware of that's about to be discovered. So don't be so quick to get away. I don't want that land. Just hold on. Hold on. It was a reason you still got that. It was a reason it was passed down to you. Don't be so quick to get rid of it yet. I'll be back to you a little later, though. I'm just whetting your appetite now. So there are hidden riches that are about to be discovered or made known or visible. But I want to share something with you again from verse 3. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. There's a reason this is being done. See, that's where we need to really focus in on. Not so much what God is doing, but why he's doing it. Because if you only get what and not why, you become extremely dangerous to what God is doing. Let me share one quick principle from this and we'll move on. Read verse 3 with me again. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which called thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. So it should reveal to you who God is. All right. Some of you are sitting in here and you say, oh, he's Jehovah Jireh. He's my provider. God is about to introduce himself to you as an abundant God. Because you have said provider is just getting enough. Oh, wow. See, who is he? We should learn who he is in this. In what God is doing, who is he? Are you really confident that God can take care of not just you, but the world? I'm talking about really when you say that he's Jehovah Jireh, have you experienced God enough that you can convey to somebody else that he can take care of them too? Or have you only met God in the sense that he's only provided just enough for you and your four and no more? You understand what I'm saying? This should reveal something to you about who God is. It's not just about what he's doing. It's why is he doing this? Like I said, I'm going slow today. Not in a rush. Because this is my platform that I'm building from. I don't know how long this would be, but we got to build, and it's important. Verse 4. For Jacob my servant's sake and Israel mine elect, I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. Told you Cyrus wasn't even saved. God can't use unsaved people. So what you going to do with this? What do you do? Just write it, tear it out of your Bible? Now, the late Bishop Lockett said this. God never does anything unnecessary. But look at this. He says, for Jacob my servant's sake and Israel mine elect, I have even called thee by thy name. So what is about to occur is going to reveal to others who God is also. Not just you, but to others. Who else is going to know who God is and how he operates because of what he does with you. That's why you are, we must get to a place that we're not afraid to testify about God. And when I say testify, I'm talking about really what God is doing. Because sometimes that's the way other people hear about God. There are things that he's willing to do in our lives, especially if we're willing to tell about it. Girl, I was broke. I ain't had no money. I had no way out. It was, you know, I thought they was going to come and get everything. All of a sudden, God opened the door and did. Well, somebody else is sitting right there where you were. And when they hear that, now they know that God can do that. But if you decide to sit on that, then, you know, it's not that God's not going to get the message across. He's going to use somebody else. But why would you do that? We love to say we overcome by the word of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb. But if you don't want to give a word of a testimony about what he's done, other people should come to know who God is by what he's doing in your life. All right, I tried to slow walk that. So that was just talking about the unknown or the unseen resources. Number two, some of these opportunities will be disguised as obstacles. Some of these opportunities will be disguised as obstacles. If you have the mentality, if it ain't one thing, it's another, you probably will miss these opportunities. Because some of them will be disguised as obstacles. I'm going to give you a Bible for what I'm saying. Go with me to 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 25. Very familiar scripture, very familiar story. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 25. The Bible says, and the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. Well, as you are probably aware on the text here, this is the story of Israel and the Philistines engaging or about to engage in battle. During the course of them about to engage in battle, Goliath is their representative. And Goliath basically steps out and says, you know, let's not waste a whole lot of time with folks fighting and all of that. You pick out a man, I'll come. If he beat me, hey, y'all win. You know, if I beat him, we win. And y'all are slaves. So he's been saying this for a while. Well, in the midst of this being said, David has been at home. I want you to understand something. David is at home tending the sheep. And I believe that this is what's happening in the body of Christ. We've been doing other things somewhere else. The right things, don't get me wrong, but it wasn't our time yet. David's father, his authority, says, go check on your brothers. David said, all right, you know, that's what you need me to do. Because Saul had put all of the men, all of the elder sons, into the war. David is the youngest, so he don't have to go. So David comes down, and in the midst of him coming down, he hears this discussion. They say, have you seen this man? This man? He said, he's come to defy Israel. But here's the thing. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. Now, most of Israel saw Goliath as an obstacle. David saw Goliath as an opportunity. Let me share that again. Most of Israel saw Goliath as an obstacle. David saw Goliath as an opportunity. See, here's where the discernment comes in the body of Christ. Other people are going to see these things as obstacles. But because of the spirit that's in you, what did he say in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9? Well, verse 10, he says this, I revealed it to you by my spirit. Holy Spirit, help me talk today. When Jesus is talking with Peter, and Peter says, thou art the Christ. Jesus turns around and says, flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. There's always been secret things, but they're revealed by the Spirit of God. What I'm telling you is not new. It just takes the Spirit of God to reveal it to us, and then that's when we operate on it. So David comes down here, and all of a sudden David sees opportunity. So David saw Goliath as an opportunity in this sense. David saw, one, great riches. David saw royalty. The king's daughter. Okay, my address about to change. My zip code. I'm moving from where we live to a gated community. See, we don't understand. We want to make stuff so spiritual. Do you realize that David is going, okay, I'm going to be rich. Say what you want to say. I'm telling you what the man saw. I see great riches. I see royalty. And then now watch this. And my father's house is going to be free. So they go, no more taxes. That sounds good today, don't it? That sounds like where Goliath at? Today. Now, this is what David is seeing and processing as an opportunity, kid. Why? Because he discerned something different. Now, watch this. This was not the first time this obstacle was presented. Other people saw the same thing. Except David saw an opportunity where they saw an obstacle. Watch this. When you know you got favor, what's an obstacle for other people is an opportunity for you. Boy, somebody better get that. I'm telling you. And they're like, you gonna do that? Yeah, because what's an obstacle for you is an opportunity for me. I got favor. I know I do. See, I don't believe, Ken, that we could have had this message before favor. I believe God strategically done that. Look at verse 26. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? See, I believe some of us are just like David. We just need clarity on what the opportunity is. Can you say that again? Can you just repeat one more time exactly what's going to be done? I need to make sure I'm clear on this. See, sometimes I just need clarity on what the opportunity is. It ain't about whether or not I'm going to seize the opportunity. I just need clarity on what the opportunity is. See, y'all been hearing this all of this other time, and y'all kept seeing it as an obstacle. I need to make sure that I understand exactly what the opportunity is. Can you say it again? You know, I wasn't here originally when the opportunity was presented, so I need you to say it again. I want us to see this, because we are going to come up on some stuff that other people have sat on and sat on and sat on because they didn't know it was really an opportunity from God. They were fearful, they were unbelieving, and they sat there. And now God is bringing you to pick it up. But you got to discern it by the Spirit of God. Look at verse 27. And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to. So they said, well, yeah, let's just say it again. They repeated it. And you know the rest of the story, what happens with David and so on and so forth. But the point is, he had to get clarity on the opportunity. Take the time to get clarity. Don't listen to other folks. You know, watch this. This is so good. They concentrated on the obstacle. David concentrated on the opportunity. Watch. If you go back and look at first chapter 17, when they first start off, they're all looking at Goliath. They're looking at it. They concentrating on the obstacle. David is looking past Goliath and what he get when you kill him. David already see himself with a new wife. Do you see what's happening with him? He is already seeing his father's house tax-free, seeing himself being wealthy. David is into the retirement. Life is good. They still stuck looking at Goliath. Saints, don't do this. I'm telling you, you're going to have to discern this one. Because it's going to often be times where it'll be disguised as an obstacle. Number three. Y'all still with me? Some means to resources will seem highly unlikely. Some means to resources will seem highly unlikely. Let me do this another way. Don't throw people away because they look like they can't contribute to you. Stop thinking because somebody don't have what you want right now in their life that they can't help you get where you want to go. You better stop looking down on folk. Because some means to the resources that God has for you will seem highly unlikely. You're gonna use him? Lord, he ain't got nothing. Not now. Amen. Not now. I remember years ago, Bishop Lockett told a story. I remember this story. He says he was doing jail ministry, and he went to the jail. And he come across this guy that was there, and he wanted to get access into the jail ministry, and he couldn't get to the person who was, quote unquote, in charge, and there was this other guy there, and he talked to him and he told him what he wanted, and the guy said, well, yeah, go ahead. He said, come on back next week, you go ahead. And his thought was, I didn't get to who I really needed to see, you know, period. Well, he came back the next week, and the guy that he had talked to wasn't just the guard or whatever anymore, he was the warden. But what if he'd have treated him crazy? I mean, I'm just saying, you know, sometimes we treat folks the wrong way, and that's why you should treat everybody right. Amen. Not because what they can do for you, but what about what you can do for them? Amen. I mean, I was sitting and I was, my wife and I was talking yesterday. You know, some folks, can I be honest with you? It's some folks that don't got over on us. Deacon Green, they don't got over. We This is a long, long time ago. There ain't nobody here. I don't even know where this person is anymore. But we rented a car for a guy one time. My credit card. I'm young. Oh, Doug, I was young. You over there going, no. Okay, young. Rented a car for him. Because he had to go to Ohio. Brother, you know, he didn't have no credit card. You know, trying to help a brother out, you know. All right, so you know, when you rent a car, there's a certain time you're supposed to come back. Well, he didn't come back. I call and he says, this is a snowstorm. Well, you know, I checked the weather. It wasn't no snowstorm. You know how there's sometimes you do some things, and then you, when something go wrong with what you done, you really see how bad it was in what you done. You know, nobody has to tell you that's a stupid idea anymore. I remember thinking, I'm like, now this boy has got a car that I have rented, and he is running up day by day by day, and we don't know when he's coming back. Or if he coming back. And then you start going like, I don't know even much about him. You know, you start thinking like, what's his mama name? Where he from? All of the stuff that you should have got before, all of this stuff rolls over now, and you realize how foolish. Well, anyway, like I said, there's some people that have gotten over on us. But I look too and I say, you know, Lord, there's some people that we've been a blessing to and they've not forgotten. I mean, can you imagine if there's just one person? Just one person and you know, I mean, be green in your lifetime. How many people you gonna help out? I mean, you know, just done some little things. My uncle, recently a friend of his passed. You know, he would take care of the guy, whatever, and everything, and, you know, help him out. Guy wanted to leave everything in his will to my uncle. Wow. He wouldn't take it. But I'm just saying, you never know what people are going to do. That's not true. You know, because he's wanted to leave everything. Did leave something, but he wanted to leave everything. Just thought I'd put that out there. Just, you know. But I'm saying, you know, because sometimes we're so protective of, oh, I don't want nobody to get over on me. Don't you know folks get over on God? And you want to be imitators of your father, right? So if people get over on your father, they probably going to get over on you too. And it don't mean that you lack discernment. You're not in tune. It's okay. Because I want you know what? To this day, Donald, it ain't like I got a problem from when that guy got over on me with that rental car. So what's the big deal on somebody getting over? It ain't held me back today. Sometimes we just don't like, watch this. We just don't like being used. Although we say, use me, Lord. We don't like the people God let use us. Lord, I meant for you to use me, not them. He said, you said, use me. So now somebody's using you and you don't like being used. Let me finish my text here. Some means to resources will seem highly unlikely. You did get the highly unlikely, right? I told you this is a spiritual message. You're going to have to be there to get this. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 24. says, and it came to pass after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his hosts and went up and besieged Samaria. And there was a great famine in Samaria, and behold, they besieged it until an ass's head was sold for 80 pieces of silver and the fourth part of a calf of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver. So, long story short, there's a siege set around the city. And it has gotten so bad that the Bible says, a great famine. Not a famine, but a great famine. If you were to actually go on and read the story, the Bible speaks about 2 women who actually boil their children. Well, one who boils their children, the other one, he had hers. But so letting you know, it was that bad that folks was eating their kids. So it's a very bad famine. Now, during a tough economic time like this, the last thing people will expect is good news. Let me say that again. Because I do believe there's a tough economic time outside. During a tough economic time, the last thing some people expect is good news. 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 1. Same tough economic time. Then Elijah said, "Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow, during these tough economic times, shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria." So now right during that same kind of famine, right when women are boiling children to eat them, the prophet stands up and says, tomorrow. I tell you, this I know this is a spiritual message. You can sit and play if you want to. You have to hear this in your spirit. This ain't going to work with just natural ears. I want to show you something about this statement, though. Elijah said, "Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord." Even if you don't believe it, God has already said it. Even if you go on in your mind, there's absolutely no way that this can happen. It's already been released. And I'm sharing this for a reason. Look at this. Look, well, he says, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. There are times where God doesn't request your input one way or the other concerning what he's about to do. In other words, I'm sorry if this hurts your feelings, but there are times where God don't care what you think. Amen. What am I saying? You got to realize the people in Samaria and what they're dealing with. If you sit there, if you go to the next verse, it's an indication of the mentality of the people that were in there. When the guy that leans on the king's hand says, you know, if God was to open up the windows of heaven, how could this thing be? What I'm saying to you, God doesn't require your input. This ain't about if you got faith for it. The thing that you want to see here is, it may come through a highly unlikely source. But it has nothing to do with you having faith for it. Watch this. This is what I'm saying. When this word was released, it wasn't about somebody being there. It's released by the prophet because he said, thus saith the Lord. This is what God is saying. This ain't whether or not you believe what he's saying. This is what he's saying. So you might want to get with the program. All right? Jump down to verse 6. Now, while you're going to verse 6, generally what it is our problem is the same problem that the king's servant had. We can't figure out how God is going to do what he said he's going to do. But remember, your input wasn't necessary. Look at verse 6. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight, left their tents, their horses, their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. Let's talk for a moment. The Lord had made the host of the hearers, host of the Syrians to hear a noise. Now watch this. Verses 6 and 7 give us insight onto how this happened. You do know everybody that's about to benefit from this does not know verse 6 and 7. What am I saying? So God has done some things that we're about to benefit from that we don't even know he done. Because it's past tense. It's already done. Folks are still in there starving like they were the previous day, but this is already done. It wasn't about the people inside having faith that God can do it. Already done. Because look, the Lord made them to hear a noise. Nobody had a role in this but God. See, sometimes we think we're so invaluable to the plan of God. It's so necessary for us to do this, that, and the other. They heard a noise. And the noise came from God. Now, so God had already made the resource available, right? But now a means to the resource was needed. Okay, work with me here. The noise was made over here. They deserted the camp. They are over here in the siege, still starving, still hungry. But a means to the resource is needed to get them from here to there. Already done, still starving, need a means. You with me? Look at verse 8. And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent, they did eat and drink and carried then silver and gold and raiment and went and hid it and came again and entered into another tent, carried this also and went and hid it. Then they said one to another, we do not well. This is the day of good tidings and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now, therefore, come that we may go and tell the king's household. So they came and called unto the porter of the city, and they told them, saying, we came to the camp of the Syrians, and behold, there was no man there, neither voice of man, but horses tied, asses tied, and the tents as they were. What would make someone think that lepers could be a blessing to a city? What a highly unlikely means to a resource. Look at verse 11. And he called the porters and they told it to the king's house within. So the lepers get an audience and the porter begins to report it to the king's men. What if the porter would have just said, y'all crazy. Y'all ain't nothing but lepers. Get on out of here. They'd have still been starving. Resources still been available. I'm saying this because we need to discern spiritually when God is using people. They may seem highly unlikely to be the ones that's going to be the means to bring about your resources, but don't write them off. Do you realize this one porter whose name is never mentioned in Scripture, if he would have just said, get away from here. Y'all lepers anyway. He'd have been dead and everybody else in there. But he decided to follow through with the fact that, listen, maybe what they say got some truth to it. Maybe it is something we need to look into. Maybe it is worthwhile. I mean, you're starving anyway. Let me stay with the text. Verse 12, and the king arose in the night and said unto his servants, I will now show you what the Syrians have done to us. They know that we be hungry, therefore are they gone out of the camp to hide themselves in the field, saying, when they come out of the city, we shall catch them alive and get into the city. Now, what's interesting here is the king is saying the stuff that most of us would say. Oh, this ain't nothing. God ain't this ain't got nothing to do with the Lord. It's just something they want to take us out. We're gonna perish if we do so and so. This right. Some of us are so negative because of what we've been through. You don't have to say amen, it don't matter. The truth of the matter is we've become negative, contaminated by the environment that we've been in. But you know what? Somebody said, and it's amazing because all of a sudden the servants are smarter than the people in charge. The servants have gotten to the place where they said, listen, let's fix this. So the king is saying, well, you know, this is what's going on. They're going to take advantage of us. This is going to cost us. Thank you. This is going to cost us our lives. I'll show you what. Stop being so negative. Okay, if you go back to 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 1, now do you see why? And the prophet said, the Lord said. Not y'all believing anything, not y'all having faith, because I know y'all environment so bad you don't believe nothing no more. I know that you've been dealing with so much negative stuff for so long, you can't even believe that I'll feed you. So it has nothing to do with your belief system. And for all of us that was thinking that the king's servant was so bad, can't you see why? Look at the king. Hello. Anyway, some of y'all will get that later. Verse 13. And one of his servants answered and said, let some take, I pray thee, five of the horses that remain which are left in the city. Behold, they are all as the multitude of Israel that are left in it. He said, well, this is about all we got anyway. Someone got five horses, take them. He said, let us send them and see. So they took therefore two chariot horses, and the king sent after the host of the Syrians, saying, go and see. So the king came, he said, well, you know, what we got to lose, might as well go look. Some of us need to learn how to take that next step. All that negative energy, just stop. Just stop. Stop being so negative. You're around other folks influencing them with negativity. Drop down to verse 16. Well, verse 15. And they went after them unto Jordan, and lo, all the way was full of garments and vessels which the Syrians had cast away in their haste. And the messengers returned and told the king, the people went out, spoiled the tents of the Syrians. So a measure of fine flour was sold for a shekel and two measures of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. This was all set in motion by a word God had spoken. All of this had happened already because of a word. There are some things that are in place over your life already because of a word. But God is simply using some means that is highly unlikely to bring you to the resources that have already been spoken. But don't sit here and be negative over it and miss what God is doing. Don't miss the fact that he may use something that's highly unlikely in our estimation. These four lepers' names are never mentioned. They saved the entire city. The entire city. But you know one thing about those lepers? In the beginning, they say, why sit we here till we die? In other words, instead of being negative about their situation and everything that was going on with them, they said, well, you know, we might as well go do something different. Some of us dare to be different. Live. Stop existing. Live. Step out. Do something different. Well, I ain't never done nothing different. Why not? You go the same way home every day. Go a different way. Go see something different. You know, before you know it, you in the driveway and you go like, I don't even remember how I got home. Because you on autopilot the whole way. Same day. Here we go again. At 4:53, I should be at this stoplight. Your life is that predictable? Live. Don't be so negative. Live. I believe Jesus said it this way. I have come that you might have life and that more abundantly. Live an abundant life. Abundant life doesn't mean that you got to have all or everything you want and all of this kind of. What quality of life are you living? I'm excited about living. I mean, just being alive. And you ought to be. You have life on the inside of you. I don't always feel my best, but that ain't got nothing to do with my excitement about living. The alternative is pretty different. You pushing up daisies somewhere. Why? Because you're so negative. Live. God has come that you might have life. Live in it. Oh. Watch this. I want to do this again. 2 Kings 7 and 1. I just want to repeat something right quick. Then Elijah said, hear you the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Verse 2, then our Lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And he said, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shalt not eat thereof. They all had heard the word. They simply did not know how it would come to pass. Today you've heard God's word, but you don't know how it's going to come to pass. You don't know how God's going to do it in your life. Let me share something with you. A proper response by them could have been this. According unto your word, Lord, so be it unto me. Not, watch this. You know what? God, not one place do I see in this story that God asked them to have faith to believe this. As a matter of fact, in verse 2, when the king's servant opened his mouth, the man of God wasn't even talking to him. It was not even a conversation. So he watched it. Listen to me. He opened his mouth and disqualified himself. Sometimes just be quiet. God, I don't know how you're doing this. I know what you said. I know this stuff the pastor's talking about today is absolutely crazy. Talking about manifesting these hidden resources and all stuff in the land and all of this. God, I ain't never heard of this. Just be quiet. It's okay. He ain't asking you to believe it. See, this is where we blow it. So I'm trying to help you before you get too far gone. I don't see it. I've never seen this happen before, but you know what? According unto your word, so be it unto me. I mean, God, you want to do this? I'm good with it. Because remember, watch this. You favored. See, have you forgotten you favored? That's why God can bring something to you like this now, because you're favored. It ain't about your qualifications outside of doing this, that, and the other. Well, I'm not a mineral expert. So what? Well, God, how are we going to find what's in the land? Do I got to get a geologist? Don't worry about it. I was watching the news 2 days ago. They over in Egypt. God got a bulldozer. They clear some land. They unearth one of the Ramesses statues. No geologist, a bulldozer. Construction. I don't know how God's going to do it. I just know he's doing it. I ain't looking at the obstacle. I'm looking at the opportunity. Trying to figure all this stuff out. Lord, what do I get out of this, Lord? Just show me what I get. Because I don't know about you, but just give me a few minutes. In my heart, there's something beating now that's different. I have a desire for more. I'm going to be honest with you. I mean substantial more. I am kidding. I'm not talking about a few thousand dollars. There's a desire for something substantially bigger than what I can produce. Something beyond my ability now. Something that I said, something that says, this is God now, because I know I couldn't have done it. And to him be all the glory and the honor. Now, I have no problem with that. Because I believe it's something God wants to do now in his people who are willing to be used like this. You wait. I don't have enough time today, but you know what? People keep talking about the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. And we all been trying to figure out how the transfer gonna happen. I don't care how it happened. I mean, why does that matter? I see all kind of stuff. I see possibilities. I ain't rude. Well, Pastor, you mean you'd accept? Let me tell you something about money, for those of you all that have a little problem. Money is what's called amoral. It's neither good nor bad. You mean them drug dealers want to come pay their tithes? Or they want to bring an offering to the church. We're going to preach the truth. We're going to share the truth with them. And yes, you can place it right here in this offering. Oh, yeah. Because you sitting there going, that's evil money. No, it ain't. That's the same money when you go to food line, they don't went in there and bought them something to drink, and that money is in the cash register now. And when they put it in your hand for change, you will fold it up in your little purse and go home. You ain't going to be talking about it being evil then. Same money. Same exact money. The thing is, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? I am sensing God wants to do something so big and so wonderful in the people of God. This is beyond, I'm going to just be honest with you, and I'm about to close. This is beyond your education. This is beyond your ability in the sense of what I went and I got this and I got. I'm not discounting anybody's education and what you're doing. Continue by all means in that. But don't think that what God is about to do now has to do with, okay, well, I was educated enough on Wall Street. Now I know how to do so-and-so, so-and-so. There's a place where God said, listen, I've got something I want to do. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to use you. Period. End of story. You're going to be used. And I believe that I keep sensing something so big. I was sharing this with my wife, and I'm closing with this. Because I really believe God is manifesting hidden resources. Deacon Green, all my life, I'm going to share this. This is just me. I don't like surprises in this regard. I don't like financial surprises. Tell me how much something costs up front. Tell me, because I like to prepare. I don't care what it is. Anybody that know me,
I don't like financial surprises.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Because all my life, I've had to figure out, can I afford something? I'm just being honest. So I've learned that, I mean, Ken, what is it like when you look at something and you go like, that's nice. I like to have that. But not can I afford that. Or when you look and you see something and it's excellent quality. You're not just looking at it to be bougie. It's good quality. It's something really worth having if you could afford it. And you have to look at it and go, well, let me see what's under that. What's the step down from that one? What's two steps down? Until you find what you can afford. I believe what God is doing now, and I'm just being honest, this is what I sense. I'm going to do this. This is what I sense for me. It's, do you want it? It's, do you want it? He said, Doug, I'll withhold no good thing from them to walk up right before me. That's what he said. And watch this, because now, now that you've learned to be pleasing in God's sight, some stuff that you wanted before, you don't even care for anyway. Because, I'm just being honest, some of the stuff we wanted before was to make us look good. Amen. Now you go like, oh, I don't even need that. I don't care about that. Whereas before, you had to have that because I'm just being honest. You think, I ain't talking about nobody, all right? Nobody. But you know, when you got to sit there and think about, should I get the car? Because I want to think about how people going to see me when I'm at the stoplight. What they going to think? Yeah, they got it going on. Because, my Bentley right here. You probably buying it for the wrong reason, okay? I'm not saying you can't have a Bentley, but that's probably not the reason you want to buy one. I want the house in the gated community because then, after all, I've arrived. You've arrived in the gated community. That's the only place you've arrived. But see that there's a point, and I'm just being honest, all of us somewhere along, okay, thank you, Holy Ghost. Let me talk to the sisters for a moment. When you get the dress, you're thinking about a certain dress, and you go like, how am I going to look in this? No, how do you look in it? Not how you going to look to somebody else, but how do you look in it? Do you like you looking in it? Do you like the way you look in it? See, we've got to get away from buying things to impress other people. Is it something you like? Then get it because you like it. Not because somebody else is impressed by what you got. See, that's why I believe this was a maturity. It took a certain level of maturity to enter into this. This ain't for somebody. If you weak in your stature about who you are as a person and you need things to build yourself up, this ain't for you. You're not ready yet. You're not. That's the way the world thinks. When you find people living I'm not talking about anybody in particular, but you want to talk about a poverty mentality? When you live in the projects, but you drive a $60,000 vehicle. Priorities are out of whack. You better go ahead and get you a $2,500 vehicle and move in a house. That's a poverty mentality. Because you can afford the $60,000. Obviously, you're driving it every day. So go and put it into something that you can live under the roof of. Instead of living under that roof or sunroof. But I'm just saying, And I'm finished. I am totally finished. I don't want to mess this all up. I wanted to take my time today because I know that this is a different thought pattern than what we have been on. And I know that this is, like I said, it's the deep things. It's deeper than this is deeper. I'm going to deal with this in some elements that's not just resources, that's financially too. But I need you to see that God is bringing some things into us that I believe are going to blow your mind. Some of you all, you're going to have to you need to learn how to balance your checkbook. Watch this, because you're not going to have to balance your checkbook. But see, first off, everything in Christianity deals with stewardship. Everything. God's going to always ask you, in essence, what did you do with what I gave you? So when I say you don't have to balance your checkbook, it's because you have developed the principles of living a life where you keep things in balance. But it ain't down to you going like, okay, I got 6 cents in here left. Now, because you learned to live under those kind of conditions, now when it's enlarged, you know how to handle it. You understand what I'm saying? Girl, I ain't never going to balance my checkbook. No, you don't. Once again, that you don't want to have that kind of mentality. You always want to be able to give account of what God has given you. But it's not so much that you got to, I don't know how much I got left. I hope this goes through. It ain't like that no more. Okay? I'm finished. I know. I'm finished. I just want to make sure I covered what the Lord wanted me to cover for today. I feel good. Listen, I understand you all that sometimes, I'm a little troubled because I don't know how y'all feel about this message, being honest, because I know it's different. But I wanted to make sure I got it across the way I got it. It's bigger than what you're thinking, I'm telling you. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither have we even imagined it. That's what I'm saying, this is big. That's what I'm saying, slowly take this in. Don't try to just, oh, okay, yeah. Because usually when we do that, we underestimate what it really is. We underestimate what God really wants to do. David didn't know that at that time, when that slingshot and that rock, it changed his entire destiny. All David saw was great riches. All he saw was royalty. All he saw was no more taxes. He didn't realize you're going to be king. This moves you to a whole nother realm. It's just part of the journey. And that's what I'm saying. I believe that this kind of word is for us. God is allowing us to see a little bit, but we only know in part. It's so much bigger than the little part we know. I mean, I see some of you all, I've been in capacities where you're sitting on boards now because they need your influence. You know, when you get some money, they want you on the board. They don't care about nothing else. Because they see your influence and your money. I see some of you all sitting on boards where they simply want to know what you know. Truly wealthy people know something. Think of what I'm saying. They know something. Yeah, they have quote-unquote money, but they know something. What is it they know? That's what people are attracted to. I see some of you all, the people, they're going to literally just want you there because of what you know. Some of you, I'm going to be honest, this may seem strange. I hear the word spiritual advisor.
The Bible says that when Joseph was in Potiphar's house, Potiphar was not over anything except the food that he ate. And he knew that he was being blessed for Joseph's sake. There are going to be individuals that you will be tied to. I know, I see one person in particular, and somebody, you have somebody's ear for spiritual things. You have sown to them the spiritual things, they're going to sow to you the carnal things. Because they respect your walk with God. And I want you to remember when I shared this word, because I'm going to share this with you individually, and I'm going to remind you that you were the person I was talking about. Because there's something going to come up, and you're going to share something with me, and I'm going to tell you, remember that day when we was closing our service, and I talked to you about a spiritual advisor, I'm going to say, you were that person. You were that person. I'm telling you, this is so much bigger than what we're thinking. So much bigger. This is even beyond money and all of that. So much bigger. So much bigger. Let's stand.